testify. If God's been good to you, you ought to testify. If I get a witness,
tell him his goodness.
Get up,
get up.
Somebody shout, glory.
Tell him his goodness.
Get up.
Everybody, welcome to a new episode of the Unscripted Pulpit. It's Austin here with you. Joined with me here tonight is Mr. Jeremiah. So glad we could be here with you. Welcome to our new episode. We don't know what it's going to be about. We're going to see what happens. As always, we are so thankful for our listeners. Glad you all are joining us. No matter where you're at, what time of day, or what you're doing, we're just glad that you are here. Few matters of housekeeping, as always. Don't forget our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. Got some new merch on there we are super stoked about. Also, all kinds of other stuff on there. Y'all heard this spew before. Ain't no need me carrying on about it. Y'all have already heard it. So, without further ado, we will jump right into it this evening. I don't know where we're going to go, but we'll see what happens. Brother Jerry, how was your week, buddy?
It was good. It was a good week. Always good whenever you get to fellowship with others in Christ. I had a wonderful week. It was slow at first. It's always hard to get past that hump on Wednesday. But once you hit Wednesday, it seems like Thursday and Friday just slide right on by. And now it's Saturday evening. We got one more day before we start our week all over again. The pulpit's working, the Unscripted Pulpit, we're working on big things. We've added merch to our website. There are different options for merch. If you'd like to buy yourself a hat, hoodie, shirt, what have you, there are different color options and different ways you can support our channel. We are so grateful for our many listeners that are listening on Spotify, on Pandora, iHeartRadio, YouTube, as well as our Facebook subscribers. Thank you all for your dedication and your fellowship with us on all of our platforms. I have had several different messages come across to me. The other night I was trying to sleep, and God woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, "Man, you need to have some time together." So that's what we did. And now we're talking on this platform. So here in a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. We're going to let the Spirit guide us and lead us. This here is an unscripted pulpit by name because we don't plan anything. We just go with what the Spirit tells us to do, what God tells us to do. Without further ado, we're going to break it up into a word of prayer for this podcast and for the listeners of this podcast tonight. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless each and every person listening to this podcast tonight, God. I also ask that if any among them may be unsaved, God, that you would lead them to a church or to a place where they could become one with you, God, that they could admit their sins, believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and confess their sins to you, God. I also ask that for many of our listeners that are struggling in their walk, that they realize that there are tools and resources available to them. By either reaching out to us on email or phone number or our Facebook. God, I just ask that you continually bless this ministry because that is what it is. It's a ministry dedicated to you and to serving only you, God. And in your name we pray all these things. Amen. So, without further ado, I have a few words to say tonight. And I'm going to be reading probably one of my favorite books of the Bible. One of my favorite, probably one of my favorite books. It's Proverbs, and it's chapter number 27, verse number 17. And before we dive into this, a few years ago, my wife's grandmother had a family member that had moved out of their house and had left all their belongings behind. They took like the necessary things, but then they had left other things behind. This house had sat empty for a month, 2 months at a time, I don't know, something like that. And she called me one day. She said, "Jeremiah, you want to go on an adventure?" And I said, "Well, yeah, Thelma, I'll go on an adventure." And if any of you all listeners are listening tonight and you know Thelma, you know it was an adventure. We went out, we set up to go to this house, and we got there, and the place was closed up. And she used the key that she had, opened the door, and it was musky in there. But there was all kinds of manner of stuff in there, all kinds of stuff. From tools to furniture to all kinds of things that she just set her eyes on that she wanted all of it. But she had only brought her SUV, so there's only so much you could fit in there. And as I was looking around, I found all kinds of tools and all kinds of knives. And I was reminded of this verse when I was thinking back on this. Verse 17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And Bible in itself is telling us to find us a brother, find us someone who will sharpen us. Because a real friend in Christ is forged by challenges that each one fights. Now, if you don't know what an example of that would be, I would like to use my relationship with Austin. He is a dear friend of mine, and he sharpens me and I sharpen him. Because there are things that we run across in a daily, sorry about that, folks. We had a little bit of an earthquake happening on this table.
Don't worry, Marty, it wasn't an earthquake. It's just me fumbling around.
Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The Bible's is telling you to check your blind spots with the people that you call friend. Check your blind spots so that the people that you're surrounding yourself with are not going to, those people don't need to leave you soft. You need to be sharpened by another person, ultimately sharpened by God. God is going to direct your path to people that are going to sharpen you and not dull you. It's so easy to look at the things that you're going through and see, well, hey, I could have done this or I could have done that. But this life wasn't meant for us to travel it alone. It wasn't meant for us to go it alone. It wasn't meant for that. You know, even when Jesus called the disciples, he called many of them together because he knew that they needed a man standing beside of them that would be able to be like, "Hey, you know, you're going through this because of this. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you when you feel lost and you feel alone." You know, your true brothers, and I cannot think of a better representation than the unity that I have seen in church before, where I have seen men who wouldn't dare say a word out of turn for anything. They wouldn't even migrate out of their seat because they were terrified, because they were shy. They had this thing going, that thing going on. But to speak of actual unity and brotherhood, I've seen it firsthand, and I've seen the people that were terrified to speak, terrified to sing, stand up and pray for a brother that was needing it. Your true brothers are going to grind you into a weapon that God can use and that he can use to further your ministry. So whenever you become a Christian, your job isn't over then. Your job, when you become a Christian, you have a call and you have a gift, you have a ministry, you have things that God has called you to do, but he wants you to do that alone. It takes all of us working together for the one ultimate goal, which is to see souls saved. So the point of this verse, in my interpretation, is to surround yourself with others that make you sharper, that make you stand apart from your regular friends. Because this walk is hard enough as it is, but it's even harder when you don't have people in your corner backing you up. Because when you see something that's happening that's wrong, it's important to have someone in your corner that's like, hey, you know, that is wrong. We can get through this. We can pray through this. We can get it done. You know, I have heard so many times about how the trials that you'll go through as a Christian. I think about when you're climbing those mountains by yourself. It's cold and it's you feel like you're alone. You know, anytime I've had a battle that I've had to face, I've either had, you know, Austin to rely on or my wife to rely on, because I know that she is, Austin is, Sarah is a true buddy. And we have talked, me and Austin have talked about this, how we are buddies. We have talked in great detail about different things that we've had to face. But if we didn't have each other, you know, where would we be? I have seen so much unity in the last 6 months of going to Corbin Gospel, and I am so glad to be a part of it. I have seen so many people get out of their comfort zones and reach across the aisle to their brother and be willing to say, hey, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you, not just in church, but I'll pray for you outside of church. I'll find me a place, whether I'm working or whether I'm driving down the road, I'll find somewhere where we can get together and we can pray together. We can talk together. I will be your listening post, because, you know, sometimes we just want somebody to listen. We just want somebody more than just God, but we want somebody else in our corner that could be like, hey, you know, you're going through this because you did this or you did that. Not too long ago, they started school back, and my wife was blessed to be able to have a moment of silence, a moment of reflection, a moment of prayer, a moment of reflection for their day. And she would come home every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and she'd be like, Jeremiah, she said, I'm just so tired. Them kids have worn me out. I don't know why they're acting so crazy. I don't know why they're acting so wild. And, you know, as a husband, as a supportive, caring husband, I had to be like, yeah, babe, we can pray about it. We can pray about it. I don't know what's going on either. But the more she started coming home, all these issues that she was having at school and different things, we would come to realize that the reason why she was having to fight these different battles was because they were having a moment of prayer before every day. And the devil don't like that. He don't like when we put our armor on before we go into the battle. He'd rather us go into the battle with no armor on and having to look back wondering where it's at. So the importance of this verse is to find you somebody that's going to sharpen you. Find someone that's not going to make you dull. Find somebody that's going to be in your corner whenever you're having to fight these battles, because you're not alone. You have a network of people behind you. You just have to be willing to be the one to be like, hey, I can ask for help. I can say, yeah, I can't do it alone. I can't do everything by myself. There are other people that I can reach out to that can help me carry the load to get where I need to go. I often think about this verse because, like those knives that I found in that old house, they were dull as dull could be. And I remember Thelma looking at me and she said, what are you going to do with them? You're just going to throw them away? Well, no, I'm not going to throw them away. I'm going to sharpen them up. But what I have to use to sharpen them up, I had to use something that was just as hard, just that was going to make those knives just as sharp. I had to use a stone that would sharpen those knives up so they could have an intended purpose. We're so much like those knives. We find ourselves, it feels like that we're just cast out. We're put in a bag, we're put in a box, and we're put up on a shelf that says only break in case of an emergency. We're living in the time where the emergency's all around us. We're living in the time where, you know, we don't need to be put up on a shelf. We're living in a time where, you know, we're going to feel like we've been cast aside, and that we're not useful, and that we're not as sharp as we once was. But you have to surround yourself with people that are going to make you sharper, that are going to make you stronger. You know, when I think of the military, I think of the Army, I think of the Marines, I think of the Air Force. You know, they surround you with people that are at the same level that you are. And, you know, I think about that, and I think about how God has assembled us as churchgoers, as Christians, as different things. He's assigned us a role. He's assigned us a job. And that, you know, we don't have to do it alone. But for those of you that are listening tonight, and you probably don't have a clue where I'm going with this, but, you know, if you're not saved and you are still traveling with those friends that you got high with, that you got drunk with, that's all they want to do is get high with you or get drunk with you. They're not there to make you sharper. They're there to make you duller. Because the devil has a way of convincing you that what you're doing right now is the right thing. It's the right thing for you to do, but it's not. The close walk with God is the hardest walk at times, because you feel like you're completely alone. But I'm here to tell you that there's hope, and I'm here to tell you that surrounding myself with people, say 5 years ago, I thought at that point in time that I was surrounded by some of the sharpest people that I could have ever found. But as time went on, I began to figure out that people, now I'm not talking about Christians, I'm talking about people, will be the first ones to let you down. People will be the first ones to let you down, because not all people that are called to be this, that, or the other are going to have your best interests at heart. So 5 years ago, when I was surrendering myself to people, I was thinking, man, I've got a sharp crowd around me. I'm fine. I'll be all right. But as time progressed and different challenges threw my way, I began to realize that the people that I had surrounded myself with were not people that were going to make me sharper. They were just going to make me sharper to a point. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of our men listening here, if they've ever carried a pocket knife or a case knife, you know, they carry that case knife because you never know when you're going to need it. And whenever me and my wife were first married, my father-in-law gave me a case knife. It's actually several, if I'm not mistaken, that I still carry to this day, because you never know when you're going to need a little knife, when you're going to have to cut something open. Whenever you carry that knife and you don't sharpen it, when you pull it out and it's just not quite sharp enough. Well, that's what the people that I was surrounding myself were doing. They were keeping me just sharp enough. Not sharp enough to cut something, but sharp enough to feel like I was sharp enough to cut something, if that makes sense. I had to change my surroundings. I had to change the people that I was associating with. And that's what happens whenever you get saved. You have to put aside those things that were keeping you from God and start putting forward the things that are going to bring you closer to God. And that starts with the circle that you surround yourself with. And that's not the person that you surround yourself with at church that's going to secretly talk about you behind your back. That's not that person. That person that you want surrounded with you is that person that's going to pray with you. That person is going to be with you through the bitterness and through the greatness. That person's going to be with you, walking that mountain with you. And I'm blessed to say that I have been able to see people that are actually helping me. And, you know, this verse is not just about friendship. Friendship is a great part of it, because the more you start to realize the ministry that you're growing within you is stronger when you surround yourself with others that are actually set up to help you be stronger, be greater, be sharper in the Lord. Part of that is, you know, also selecting someone to have a relationship beyond friendship. Sarah, my wife, is, in my opinion, a very sharp blade, because even though she is very strong in the Lord, you know, she has, you know, come to me with different things, and where she's felt inadequate, or she's felt like I wouldn't say matter, but she, what's the word? She tends to get caught up in herself and forget that God's called her to do something, that God's called her to be more than just a teacher. God has called her to be an instrument, but it be a weapon of choice for the many battles that I have to face, that I have to go alone at, it feels like at times. But even her, I mean, she struggles with the same thing you and I would struggle with. But it takes, you know, more than just saying, oh, I'll be there for you, or if you need something, call. You know, whenever I was younger, we would have different funeral services, and I'm not going to call anybody out in particular. But this is just a general statement. But there would be people that would come to these funerals, and they would say, if you need anything, just holler. If you need money, if you need food, just holler. But whenever you would reach out to those people and you would call them and you'd be like, hey, I need help with this. Well, I can't do it today. I'll try maybe next week. And then you're left there standing thinking, okay, well, you told me to call you if I needed something. Those are the people that are making you duller. Those are the people that aren't in your corner. Those are the people that are not going to make you sharper. And God has made it very clear in this verse. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And, you know, countenance, you know, that is regard. That is the actual word of countenance. Just a moment here. Is tolerance, permission, allowance. That tolerance through that person is going to be what makes you sharper or makes you duller. The iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the tolerance of his friend. You ever have one of them friends that sometimes goes above and beyond the limits of what you'd call a friend sometimes? That's because God is testing that relationship. God is letting you be aware that person is maybe not someone you should call on in battle. That's maybe not someone you should call on when you are faced with a battle that you just can't handle. You know, I'm blessed to know many people that I have called on many occasions to be like, hey, I'm struggling with this. What have you done? And they have been kind-hearted and humble enough to say, well, I wasn't able to make it alone, Jeremiah. I was able to make it because I had people praying for me. I had people backing me up. And if you're running across people and it feels like you're having to fight battle after battle after battle, and you're having to question that person's loyalty to you, that's God testing that relationship. That's God trying to get you to open your eyes and see that person doesn't have your best interests at heart. So if you don't take anything else away from what we've read on today, I just ask that you bookmark this verse. It's Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Be careful who you surround yourself with. Be careful who you invite in. Because not everybody wants to be your friend. Some people want to use you for their gain. And that's not what we're about as Christians. We're not about to use ourselves as the benefit, the ultimate benefit, because it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about Austin. It's not about this podcast. It's not about the merch. It's not about none of that. Only thing, our ultimate goal here on this podcast is to see another person saved or another Christian that's struggling in their walk, that's trying to make it through, and is just struggling every step of the way. That's our goal here. And it's common goal. It's common ground. You know, I have seen so many times people being surrounded by others, and myself included, surrounded by people that did not have my best interests at heart, did not have Sarah's best interests at heart. And it's taken an act of bad will to get me back on the good will track. And that has happened more often times than I can think of. But in order to get to this place where you have someone that you trust, someone that you can go to in a battle or a fight against the devil, is seeing that person that's willing to meet you in the middle, the same as God will meet you on the scene. I just ask that each and every person that listens to this podcast today, just make sure that the people that you're surrounding yourself with are going to sharpen you. They're not going to dull you. They're going to make you into a weapon for God and not for something else. I thank you for listening tonight. And I pray that God blesses each and every one of you, and that you find someone that will sharpen you and that won't dull you.